Here at Grace, we're a little, well, me as your pastor, I'm a little different, all right? Every now and then we have weeks where I don't really want to preach. That's probably the reality. So I have a friend come and fill in for me. His name is Sammy. Some of you remember him, okay? Sammy from Galilee. He was here a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to go get him. Now, this sermon is geared for kids. So if you're not a kid, you can act like one as long as y'all don't stand up and walk around and talk at the same time, okay? So pretend within reason. I will tell a story upon myself where I was at an Awana training event, and there was a speaker that was up front, and she said, "I want you all to act like third graders." Bad idea. She got up. The first question she asked the group was, "Who was Jeremiah?" Right? She was talking about Jeremiah. She said, "Who was Jeremiah?" And I raised my hand as a third grader. And she said, "Yes, Daniel, who was Jeremiah?" And I shouted, I've been waiting for years for this, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog." That's what a third grader would say, right? Well, an old third grader, but that's all right. And I don't want that today. I deserve it, but I don't want it, okay? So be kind to Sammy, all right? Be kind to him. I'm going to go get him. He's right back here. Brian, you got his pictures pulled up? Do you? Okay, he's ready to go. All right. We'll see if he's ready back here. I don't even think he has his outfit on yet. My goodness. No shoes? Where are your shoes? Oh, never mind. All right. I hope they can't hear us out here. It's embarrassing. All right. We'll see. Dude, put your belt on. What are you doing? Yeah, all right. Yeah, good. Rabbit goes, is it around or under? I can never remember. Do the loop, around a root, down, around. This is awkward. Okay. All right, you ready? Here we go. Good morning! I'm Sammy! Pastor Barris told me he wanted you guys, he got my belt crooked. That's embarrassing for him. All right. He had me come here a while back, and I'm surprised he had me come back. Especially, he told me that there were some people here that liked him, liked me better than him, and that doesn't surprise me. I've heard his sermons. Poor guy. He's getting better. Cut him some slack. All right, but I'm here today to tell you a story. I've got a fun-filled story, and he didn't give me my clicker. Ah, hang on. Where'd you put my clicker? I need it. No. Quit crying. Give it to me. They like me better anyway. Here we go. All right. Okay. Poor guy. He's in there crying. All right. He just needs a hug, I think. All right. After church, love on the poor guy. So the story I'm going to tell you today comes from Luke chapter 5, if you want to read that. It's in Luke chapter 5. You can follow along. And this is a story that happened before my crazy story that I told last time about those fish. Remember those big fish that I caught that Jesus fed 5,000 people with? And then the miracle was really when he took my mom's small loaves of bread and made them into a huge bunch of food because I had enough fish. He didn't have to do anything with those because I'm a good fisherman. But Jesus, he did the miracle with the bread. I don't know why they call it the miracle of fish and bread, because my fish were big. They're big, I'm telling you. They weren't small. Anyway, my story begins at a family reunion. We have family reunions there as the Jews, and we get together, and so you've got, well, there's a lot of people. I'm not going to try counting. There's a whole bunch of people. Well, I got a cousin named Zeb, and Zeb thinks he's all that and more. You guys have cousins like that, right? He's the son of the crazy uncle, right? And they say every family has a crazy uncle, and if you don't see it, then it's probably you, okay? And so we have a crazy uncle, and then my crazy uncle, he's got a son named Zeb, and Zeb's just, he's just a little different. Well, I finally had my story, and I went to Zeb. I said, "Zeb, you're never going to believe what happened. Jesus took these big fish that I caught and fed a whole bunch of people, and that doesn't surprise me because they were so big, and then he took the small loaves of bread, and he fed a whole bunch, and that happened to me, Zeb." And Zeb's like, "Whoa," he said, "that's kind of cool, but you don't understand. See, we had something special happen to us too." And I said, "Zeb, there's no way you had anything cooler than what happened to me." He's like, "Oh yeah?" I said, "All right, prove it." Zeb's like, "Okay." He said, "You know we live across a lake, right?" I said, "Yeah, I know. It's a good thing we don't get to see each other more often because we'd be in trouble all the time." Yeah, that's true. He said, anyway, we live over there across the lake, and my dad's got this nice house there, and one day Jesus came to my house. I'm like, whoa, Jesus came to your house? He said, yeah. He said, Jesus came to my house. He said, this happened a while back. He'd just really begun his ministry there, and he'd done a few things. He'd healed this guy that had a demon in him. He'd kicked him out. He kicked him all the way out. And he's like, wow, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, and he'd done some healings, and he had changed some water into wine, which is why he'd never fit into church potlucks. That'd be awkward. All these things that Jesus did, that was amazing. And then, but he did this one thing this one day, and he was teaching. He does a lot of teaching, right? And there were some pretty important church people that wanted to hear him. There were these Pharisees and these scribes who write down things from the law. And they all got together, and they were listening to Jesus, because this Jesus guy, apparently he claimed to be the Messiah, and they were checking on that. You know they were watching for the Messiah, right? They were. And so they knew the Messiah was coming, and they had little things, little ways to test him to see if he really was the Messiah. Well, one day, Jesus was coming, and he had a whole bunch of people, and my dad got him to come to our house. And that was awesome. He came to our house, and he was teaching, and you got a little picture here that I drew because I'm a good artist. And he drew all, and I did all that, and he's teaching all these people at the house. And the house is full of people. It's just cram-packed full. I was telling the story to Pastor Barry last night, and he remembered when he was a little boy, he was like in second grade, and there was a presidential candidate that came through, and he did some speaking at a restaurant. Okay, and he went to this little school, and they all came, all the students there, but the restaurant was full of people hearing this guy speak. And he was kind of up in a corner of the room there a little bit, and everybody was surrounding him, and there was just standing room only, and he had saw people outside, and that's what it was like, I think, here at this house, because it was so full of people. You couldn't get any more people in. And there were people outside sitting around wondering, what's going on? I want to see this. Well, it was Jesus, and he was teaching. He was doing some crazy good teaching, and Zeb told me, he said, I was sitting there and I was looking out the window, sitting there on the table, and I was kind of looking out the window because while it's cool that it's Jesus, I didn't understand everything he was saying. So as a boy, I get bored, and Dad said I couldn't hurt anybody, so I just looked out the window to hopefully keep myself out of trouble. And so I'm looking out the window, and I saw some people coming, and they were carrying something. But there's too many people, I couldn't see what they were carrying, but they were carrying something. And you know how when you see four guys and they're all together and they're moving together, they move sideways together and they move backwards together, and they were trying to get through the crowd. Now, at first I thought it was the caterer. I thought, man, that's going to be awesome, right? But then, okay, now you guys, when you guys do catering like that, you're thinking hog roast, but we're Jews. No hog roast for us, man. It's going to be a lamb, okay? I heard Pastor Barry mention pulled pork and I threw up in my mouth. It was bad. All right, anyway, I thought it was a caterer, all right? They're trying to get through the crowd, but the crowd wouldn't let them through, so I knew it wasn't food, or the crowd would definitely let them through, so I knew it wasn't food. But what was it? I couldn't tell. And so they were trying to get through, and they were trying to get through, and pretty soon I saw a glimpse of them, and I looked up, and whoops, I missed a picture. I drew this one, too. These are the Pharisees that are disgruntled. They're trying to figure out Jesus and Messiah. That's kind of cool. All right, here we go. There's a person right there. They're carrying this dude lying down in a cot. And they were trying to get through. And I thought, why are they trying to get through to Jesus? And then I remembered, Zeb told me that he remembered that Jesus could heal people. And so apparently they thought that Jesus could heal this person. But they couldn't get through to the crowd. And Zeb said, he said, I was standing there and I was thinking, look at this. And I saw these four men. I thought, wow, these guys really want to bring their friend to Jesus. You know, that's a bit of a lesson for us, isn't it? Sit there and think about that for just a minute. Here's these four guys trying to fight through a crowd on this hot, sweaty day, trying to bring their friend to Jesus. You know, me being this little boy, Sammy, I kind of had to ask myself in the middle of that story. I said, I wonder if I want my friends to see Jesus that bad, that I'm willing to fight for it a little bit, to kind of try to push through the crowd some, to make sure my friends can see Jesus. That was a little convicting for me. I don't know about you, that was a little convicting for me. But Zeb went on, he said, well, I watched these guys, and they circled the house, and they were trying to get through, and they couldn't. And then they disappeared. Zeb's like, I was sitting in the house, and I was listening, watching. I couldn't hear anybody yelling in the crowd anymore, telling them to go away, telling them to come back later. And Zeb said, I was sitting there and I heard footsteps on the roof. And then pretty soon the roof tiles began to be pulled up. And I told Zeb, I said, Zeb, are you kidding me? They began pulling the roof off of my crazy uncle. You seen my crazy uncle? He's your dad. And Zeb's like, I know. I couldn't believe it either. I said, what'd your dad do? He's like, he did nothing. I'm like, are you kidding me? He said, no, he didn't do anything. He just stood there and watched it. And I told him, I said, well, Pastor Bear told me, he said, if somebody ever did that at their church, we'd be out there watching them, all right? They'd be coming down off that roof, let me tell you. Okay, there would be none of that going on here. All right, none of that. And so I was like, hell, I believe you, but out of my house, apparently, that's what my dad let happen, because they began crawling up there, and they began tearing this hole in my dad's roof. There's all these little tiles up there. They begin knocking them all out, getting them out of the way. And Zeb's like, I'm down here watching, and there's dust coming down, and the Pharisees looked like they had dandruff, and it was hilarious. I was laughing, and they weren't too happy, but I'm a little boy, and it was great, right? I'm watching this whole party happen, and I'm thinking, what are those guys doing? What are they doing up there, up on the roof, tearing a hole in it? Zeb said, pretty soon they got the hole big enough, and they had ropes with them, and they tied their friend to the mat, and then they began to lower him down through the hole, all the way down to Jesus. So I was like, now that was a pretty good trick. Those guys, there's one guy that slipped a little bit, and the whole thing kind of jerked some. Thought the guy was going to fall off, but he was tied on, which is a bummer. I mean, good. It was good, because little boys don't want to see stuff like that ever. But it was an interesting little thing to watch that, and they dropped him all the way down, and the crowd just kind of steps back a little bit, and they packed in the corners a little bit tighter. We were in there like sardines, you would call them, and sardines are okay to talk about because that's fish, and fish is good for Jews, so that's okay. But they dropped him all the way down the floor, and Jesus knelt down there beside him. And I said, Zeb, did Jesus heal him? He's like, no, listen, here's the first thing that Jesus said to him. He said, man, your sins are forgiven. And I said to Zeb, what do you mean? That's what he said, your sins are forgiven. Zeb's like, that's what he said. He said, your sins are forgiven. So that's the first thing Jesus said? Yep, that's the first thing Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And I said, Zeb, what's wrong with this guy? Can't he see that he's paralyzed? He can't walk, and that's the first thing he says? And Zeb's like, yeah. That's the first thing he says, your sins are forgiven. Now that's an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? Jesus, the first thing he wanted to do with this young man was to forgive his sins. Well, as soon as he said that, you know what the Pharisees got to thinking. You know, they got to muttering around with one another. It's like, what do you mean sins are forgiven? Who can do that but God? And then they said, what he's doing is blasphemy. And I started getting nervous when Zeb was telling me the story, because I know, growing up in the church, I know that blasphemy, they could kill him for blasphemy. And they believe that only God could forgive sins. And so they're sitting around the muttering, and he says, hey, who's this man that speaks blasphemies? What's he doing? But Zeb's like, okay, Sammy, but listen. He said, Jesus, he was kneeling there on the floor, and he looked up at him. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, no, check this out, guys. Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, get up and walk? Oh, now that's a good question, isn't it? Because to say your sins are forgiven, who can prove you wrong, right? You can't prove anybody wrong. There's no way to know. Yeah, they're forgiven. No, they're not. Who knows? That's a good thing. And Jesus, so, you know, to a Messiah, it's a lot easier to say, hey, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, and nobody really knows if it's true or not. And so, yeah, that's a pretty safe place to think. But then Jesus said this. He said, look, to show you that I have power to forgive sins, check this out, arise and walk. And you know what happened? That young man, that paralytic young man, he got up and he began to walk. Now, in today's day and age, if I was Jesus, I'd be like, drop the mic, poof, walking away. You know, because you know, what do you say at that point, right? I mean, that's the ultimate punchline. That's perfect. He's like, dude, you guys don't think I can forgive sin? Check this out. Get up and walk, dude. And he gets up and walks. And we're sitting like stunned that this guy could do all of these crazy miracles, that Jesus could indeed forgive sins. And not only that, he could heal people. Now, Zeb told me this story, and as I was coming across here to tell you guys this, I was thinking about this story over and over again. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, that paralytic young man, that guy, he reminds me of me and other people in so many ways. Because all of us need Jesus, don't we? We all need Jesus. We understand that. We all need Jesus. And Jesus is willing to forgive all of us for our sins. All we have to do is believe. And then Jesus was willing to heal him and allow him to get up and walk. And I sit there and I think, you know, there are people in my synagogue back at home, and maybe here at Grace, I don't know, who they're like this paralytic man to a degree. You know, this young man, he was laying there in his mat, and Jesus said, hey, get up and walk. And did he just lay there, or did he get up and walk? Well, he got up and walked, didn't he? That's what he did. I wonder how many of us are living our lives as if we're healed, or if we're still living as if we're broken. That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Because, yes, our sins are forgiven. His sins were forgiven. And then Jesus healed him as a sign of that. His sins were already forgiven. And if we believe in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. But sometimes we forget that we're healed, don't we? Sometimes we're not living exactly like we could be living, because he broke the power of sin. But we're still lying there on our mat, stuck, because we won't believe that he has done what he said he has done. See, Jesus, he came to seek and save those who are lost. All of us need Jesus. But if you're a believer in Jesus, he came not just to seek and save you, he came to heal you. He came to heal you from whatever is in your life that's got you holding back right now. And he has declared you are healed. But are we still lying in our mats? Are we still stuck? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know, and I'm just a little boy, and I can't figure all these things out. But I know these stories are true stories. And people, that day that Jesus took my bread that Mama gave me, took my fish that I caught through great skill, talent, when Jesus took those things, I saw him do something mighty. And my cousin Zeb, when he saw Jesus heal this young man, he saw Jesus do something mighty and powerful. And you guys don't get to see that, and I'm sorry for you. But let me tell you, if you had seen the things that I have seen, if you had experienced the things my family had experienced, there'd be no doubt in my mind that you'd be like this man, getting up and walking and going away glorifying God, if you had only seen what I've seen. But you have the stories. You have the stories, and that same Jesus is alive today. This isn't just a story that my cousin Zeb made up. It's found in Luke chapter 5. It's a true story of Jesus being able to forgive sins, being able to heal people. Jesus can do those things. Jesus wants to do those things for you. Will you let him? Will you believe in him? And sometimes, yeah, we understand the stories that sometimes Jesus doesn't do what we think he's going to do. We wonder why. And I don't know the answers either. But he's still Jesus. And he can still forgive you. And he can give you the power to live in a way that glorifies him. The worship team, they're going to come up here for just a minute. And they're going to sing this last song. I hope you enjoyed the story. But I want you to think in your own life, are you still stuck on the mat? Are you still there? As they come up and sing, I want you to stand up, and I want you to glorify God like the paralytic man said, because when he got healed, Zeb said, he got up and he was dancing around and shouting. Now, this is a Baptist, so gear it down a little bit. But he was glorifying God. He was praising God, and it's okay to do those things. This worship team goes up. I'm going to get Pastor Bear. But will you guys glorify God as a church, knowing that Jesus can still do everything that Jesus promised he would do? Will you do that?